Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Bennington, Vermont. This talk, delivered on Sunday, March 22, 2026, is by the Reverend Doug McCusker on the topic of Why Can't Life Be Fair?
When our daughter Bree was a little child, she's 42 now, but when she was a little child, we wanted her to eat the black-eyed peas that were on her dinner plate. She refused because she thought they looked weird. They were light brown with a big black spot right in the middle. It was like they had an eyeball and they were staring right at her. Now, my spouse Marie and I told her that she had to try them first before she could reject them. This set off a battle royale. No matter what we said, she was convinced that she was not going to eat these strange beans. At one point, she said that it wasn't fair that she had to eat what she didn't want to eat, and we got to eat what we wanted to eat. That's right. She decided to play the "that's not fair" card. And what do you think we said? We simply parroted what we were told when we were children, and we played that card. Not everything in life is fair. She didn't think to ask the obvious follow-up question. Why can't everything be fair? That would have stumped me. Really, why can't life be fair? Is it a pipe dream to expect that there be justice and equity for all? Well, Unitarian Universalists don't think so. We have enshrined this idea of universal fairness in our second and our sixth principles. We affirm and promote justice, equity, and compassion in human relations and a world community of peace, liberty, and justice for all. These are what I would call the moral principles at the heart of our religion. I looked up the definition of moral in the dictionary, and it kept coming back to two words: right action. Right action. So you may ask, who decides what is right? And of course, the answer is you, all of us. We decide. We all must decide ultimately what is right and what is wrong. Governments and those in power, they may declare rules and laws, but that doesn't mean that they're always right. The history of mankind is replete with unjust laws that favor some people over others. Laws that our nation had laws that allowed people to own other people. Laws that approved ethnic cleansing and forced removal of indigenous people and Japanese Americans. In many states today, pregnant people have no right to choose what is best for their own bodies. And here we are once again, a nation at war, because the leader of our country ordered the military to attack another sovereign nation unprovoked. In this case, it is the Republic of Iran. Now, we may have different opinions in this room about the legality and the sensibility of these actions, but the bottom line is that many people are being killed, wounded, and traumatized. We live on this planet as an interdependent web of life. War is a rupture of the mutuality that connects us all. Just because armies and navies are involved, it's no different than shooting another fellow human being in the street. It is fear and hatred disguised by a uniform. It is power wielded with no conscience or connection to the underlying flow of the spirit of life. Morality and legality are not always the same. Morality puts each of us in the driver's seat to decide what is right. And we must act accordingly. Morality even transcends religions, even though most of the world's religions are based on moral principles. Because sometimes religions as institutions can be usurped by human failings like conquest, greed, and notions of superiority. Our legal system and our institutions can stray from morality, but they can also align. If we follow our hearts, I believe that morality is an expression of love. That's right, love. By this I mean that morality is inextricably linked to relationships and connection. Our morals are not dictated to us by governments, religions, or even our parents. Morals are known intuitively because they are interwoven with our true nature at the very core of our existence, and that is love. Someone told me once that love is to humanity like wet is to water. I like that analogy, because even when we hate or cause harm to others, it's not because we don't have love. It's because we have lost our way, separated ourselves from who we truly and really are. Biophilosopher Andreas Weber, in his book Matter and Desire, an Erotic Ecology, it's a great book, he describes love as the principle of a fulfilling equilibrium between the individual and the whole. The human experience of desire and satisfaction is more significant, he argues, through our contact with the outside world that simultaneously amplifies our sense of inwardness and self-awareness. You see, we are always both separated and connected. This paradox defines all living beings. Everything exists within a dimension of relatedness. And yet, we have an identity that is unique to each of us. But even our identities are informed by our contact with others. Hyper-individuality can destroy the delicate balance of life. When we cause harm to ourselves and others out of fear and distrust, we tear the fabric of mutuality. You can call it a relationship crisis that manifests in numerous ways, such as the rapid extinction of species and habitats, militarism through war and genocide, corporate greed, the worldwide epidemic of poverty and homelessness, and that's just to name a few. Love, as the experience of deeply meaningful relationships, contains two things at once: action and inner awareness. Morality are the actions we take that maintain that balance of us as an individual and as a part of an interconnected whole. When we stray from that balance, we know it and we feel it in our bones. It diminishes who we are. We feel small and afraid. Morality, as an expression of love, is a beautiful manifestation of our aliveness. Albert Einstein once wrote, "The most important human endeavor is striving for morality in our actions. Our inner balance and even our very existence depends on it. Only morality in our actions can give beauty and dignity to life." External beauty is subjective. It is based on norms that vary widely across cultures and change over time. It favors conformance to standards that are often out of our control, such as age, height, bone structure, skin color, you name it. Those without the ascribed features are then made to feel inadequate. The internal beauty that Einstein describes is within our control. It is objective and universal. It arises from our inner balance between the self and the whole. It reflects our inner and outer awarenesses. Morality is true beauty. As Unitarian Universalists, We recognize moral beauty through the lens of social justice. By being at peace with ourselves, we share our beauty like the lilies in the field. We spread that beauty through compassion, empathy, and love to our families, our neighbors, and to the wider world. As you use, we are called to build communities that inspire us to achieve a higher purpose for each other. Anywhere that we encounter injustice, we see it as an affront to all of us. But only by tapping into our interdependence with one another are we then compelled to act. If my neighbor is being oppressed and I have the means to act, I have a moral duty to disrupt and dismantle that injustice. To do otherwise is to act against love, which is then acting against our true nature. Back in January, about 100 UU ministers and religious leaders went to Minneapolis when the call was made for clergy of all religions to come bear witness to the atrocities being perpetrated by our government on our fellow human beings. In sub-zero weather, they joined the brave residents of that city who were looking out for their neighbors. They took food to people who were afraid to leave their homes. They formed a carpool system to take kids to school and people to doctor's appointments. They filmed and documented gangs of ICE agents who were pulling people out of their cars and raiding businesses. I saw one of my dear friends, the Reverend James Galasinski, he's the minister at the UU Church of Canton, New York, being interviewed on CNN. He recounted an ordeal that he witnessed when ICE agents grabbed a pregnant woman out of her car in a shopping center parking lot. Reverend James told a reporter that while he was filming the whole thing on his phone, he captured the eyes of the two ICE agents. He said they looked to be like they were in their young 20s. They seemed afraid and out of place. He thought they probably took the jobs to pay for the pay and the benefits to support their young families. And that deep down, they were just being caught up in another scheme to pull us apart. After the woman showed her passport, yes, people with a certain skin color have had to resort to carrying papers. The agents looked it over, called it in, and eventually they let her go. As you can imagine, the woman was quite shaken up. Reverend James and his fellow clergy on the scene prayed for the woman. They prayed for the young ICE agents and for the Minneapolis community. They prayed that the violence would stop and that everyone on all sides would find love in their hearts for their fellow humans. They did what every religious tradition calls on us humans to do, to take care of each other and share what we have with those who are in need. In Christianity, the prophet Jesus of Nazareth taught his followers at the Mount of Olives about this sacred connection to each other that we all share. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. One of the five pillars of Islam is to give a substantial portion of one's financial resources as alms to the poor. In Buddhism, there is the Bodhisattva vow to postpone one's enlightened transcendence until all suffering beings are alleviated. In Taoism's sacred book, the Tao Te Ching, it teaches us that we are all connected by a sacred unity called the Tao. And in the 77th verse, it says, to live by the Tao is to give one's surplus to others. The message here is that when we take care of our fellow humans, especially those who are vulnerable and suffering, we are doing it for everyone, including ourselves. This can be in the form of direct assistance, contributing to charitable organizations like PAVE, or advocating for laws that promote universal fairness. Social justice is at the heart of Unitarian Universalism. Let me get my place back. Because we are held together by love rather than beliefs. As a religion that puts love at the center, we honor our universal relatedness through our actions. Unitarian Universalist theologian Thandeka coined the phrase, love beyond belief. She emphasized that doctrinal freedom, a defining characteristic of our faith, is our emotional signature as a caring and compassionate religious people. She writes, our social justice work emerges from the ways in which we intellectually and emotionally handle the ongoing capacity of human beings to experience a change of heart. This is why we affirm human nature in positive terms rather than condemn it as irretrievably broken and fallen from grace. We nurture the redemptive capacity of the human heart to be transformed. We are proactive in creating human communities that nurture our capacity to bond in ways that are productive for our own well-being and then for the whole wider world. This we call the beloved community. As Martin Luther King famously said, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Social justice is central to our faith because we believe that life can be and should be fair. Not just for some people, but for all people. Moral beauty is something that we all possess. We each decide what is right and when it's time to act. Right action, moral action, is within our control. All we have to do is follow our inner wisdom that bends toward justice. Follow the love in your hearts, and together we will create this beautiful world. May it be so, and may we be among those who make it so.